broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP, Cullman.
A little bit after 4 o'clock, you're listening to Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, and time for Sports Talk Live. This program is brought to you each and every Tuesday and Thursday by our friends at People's Bank. I want to give them a special thanks for that and a special shout-out. Here's your host for Sports Talk Live. We've got one in and one out today, Jason Spiegel.
Thanks, Jay. As Jay's already said, I'm missing my partner in crime today, Ronnie Barnes. Out sick with the old stomach bug, and man, as far as I'm concerned, Ronnie, I hope you're better, but glad you're not here in the station with us, because not many things in life am I more afraid of than I am the old stomach virus. I mean, when I get the stomach virus, I am down for the count. I'm a big baby about it. I hope my wife isn't listening to this, because I never admit to it, but that is about the truth of the matter. A lot of sports going on here in the local Cullman area, as well as this weekend. The college games will get kicked off tonight. Miami and Pittsburgh, the highlight game of the college world tonight. But in high school action, it's looking like this. Cold Springs will be at Danville. Cold Springs 5-4 playing at Danville. Danville 1-5 in 4A action. Cold Springs was shut out last week, the first time in 19 games. They were shut out 28-0 to Cleveland, J.B. Pennington. I forgot who. I think it was Cleveland. Fairview, 4-5, playing at Holly Pond, 6-3. Holly Pond, what a year they've had after a losing streak of 36 games in a row. They got a win, I think, next to the last game last year, and now this year 6-3 and have made the playoffs, as well as Cold Springs did. Hanceville 2-7, playing at Good Hope 0-9. Good Hope yet to get a win this year. Who knows, it could come on the last night of the regular season. Good Hope, of course, and Hanceville neither making the playoffs. Chelsea 7-2, playing at Cullman 6-3. Chelsea, looking over their schedule and their record, seems to be a pretty good team. They have beat Briarwood, and man, anytime you beat Briarwood, you've got to be doing some things right. Again, Chelsea 7-2, playing at Cullman with a record of 6-3. West Point 5-4, playing at Lawrence County. Thoughtful. I don't have their record. At Viamont, 2-7. Viamont 2-7 will be hosting Faultful. And Addison, 9-0, plays at Winston County, 2-7. So a lot of local sports going on in the area this weekend. Get out and catch maybe the last game for your team. If you've got another game, be sure to support the teams in the playoff. I think four local teams in the playoffs this year. It looks a lot better than it did to start the year. Today, Thursday, we'll have, even though Ronnie's not out, I mean, he's not here. Of course, he's not out. He's not here. We will have our regular callers. We will have at 4:30 Chris Andrews from Vegas. He'll be telling us about the college game. And for entertainment purposes only, if you want to play a coin or two this weekend, he'll be telling you who you might want to look at. At around 5 p.m., we will have Dan Vosta, Campus Insider Dan, out of Chicago, Illinois. Good to join us each week. And, man, if there's anybody that knows the college game, it's Dan. He knows every stat, even the weather conditions, the game played in 1985 or so. At 5:30, local, we like to call him our local professional fisherman. He don't like to be called that, but we will call him that anyway. Rex Chambers will join us to talk a little fishing for about 15 minutes before we close it out with the picks of the week. We'll be picking the high school games, or I'll be picking the high school games. Might get Jay to join me. Need some competition. And then we'll close it out about 6 o'clock, go home, get about to eat, and get ready for some college football. Sports news. Alabama fans are jumping up and down today. No longer Nick Saban, the highest paid coach in college football. Now, there's a little catch to that. Jim Harbaugh is now the top paid college coach, and that is due to an insurance policy, actually two insurance policies. Some money profited on those insurance policies took Harbaugh to $9 million this year. That's right, $9 million. Saban, not doing bad himself, $7,087,000. Urban Meyer comes in third with $6 million. Oklahoma's Bob Stoops, the fourth highest paid coach at $5.5 million. Jimbo Fisher from Florida State, $5.25 million. Texas Charlie Strong, $5.2 million. Texas A&M Kevin Sumlin at $5 million. Gus Malzahn from the Auburn Tigers comes in at number 8 at $4.725 million. So none of those guys doing too bad. None of them going to be starving to death or anything like that. Talk about their salary a little more here. Hugh Freeze, $4.7 million. Now, yes, he's done a good job at Ole Miss. I would nearly say great job at Ole Miss.
Now, I have to jump in about Gus. He's starting to earn his a little bit more now, I would say.
Yeah,
or actually, he's doing less. He's kicked off his offensive duties, but yet he's having a better year, obviously.
Jay, you know the secret to being a good coach or a good president, whatever.
Delegate, right?
Right.
Yeah.
If you've got people that can do the job, man, why do it? Give it to them. Let them go with it.
I just want to know why it took him 6 games to figure out he had somebody
well,
to do it.
Well, that's true. That's true. The play calling the first 2 games, I believe me and you could have done just as good.
Well, we're not swapping quarterbacks as much anymore either. You know, they finally named a quarterback that seems to be running the team.
So. No, I think people were ready to lynch Gus over that, so I think he saw the light. So, Hugh Freeze, $4.7 million again, and like I said, I would say great job by Hugh Freeze, but only a few things wrong. Hugh Freeze has now lost 4 games this year after supposedly going to be the number 2 team in the SEC West. Some felt that they might challenge Alabama for the number 1 position. The Ole Miss Rebels now with 4 losses, and well, yeah, they beat Alabama 2 years in a row up to this year, and Alabama got the best of them this year. But look at your newspapers, listen to sports talk radio, and you'll also learn that Ole Miss under investigation by the NCAA, and it's not looking good for the Rebels at this point. You know the old saying, where there's smoke, there's fire, and man, there is smoke coming from the Mississippi campus. Hugh Freeze has denied everything, not involved in it. But even though Ole Miss has pretty much denied everything, they are willing to go ahead and self-impose a bowl restriction this year, which is a smart play. Ole Miss looking like, if Auburn beats them Saturday, it looks like they'll finish the year with probably 6 losses. And 6 losses will land you more than likely in something like the Birmingham Bowl where Auburn was last year. So why not go ahead and take the bowl penalty and make favor with the NCAA. Who knows, you might get off a little lighter.
Now let me ask you this. All of your figures that you have there, does it include the bonuses that they get for winning bowl games? And
no,
like that?
That's base.
That's gravy on top
right.
of it. Okay.
Yeah, if I could find that somewhere, I'm sure if they win a SEC championship, you're probably looking at, I don't know, $100,000 to $150,000 on top of that, probably a national championship, a quarter of a million or so. So they're not hurting. I would take any of these guys. The SEC average pay, Jay, average now, $4,172,000 for coaching football. $4.172 million, which blows all the other conferences away. The Big 12 coming in second place.
You probably have a better chance of getting cast on Criminal Minds than you do of being hired at a college football
coach. Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it. Since I played a whopping 1 year of football, never coached any football, not even peewee. So I don't think they'll be looking at Jason at the age of 51 who's never coached and only played 1 year. The Big 12 coming in second. Their coaches, they're in the poorhouse. I feel sorry for them. $3,540,000. That's the average. The Pac-12, third place. We're going to drop off about half a million here. $3,102,000. The Big Ten, $2,753,000. And the ACC, $2,000,000. $1,562,000. A note of interest, number 10 in the coaching salary, Penn State's James Franklin, $4.5 million. And man, just 2-3 weeks ago, the people there at Penn State, and we're going to talk to Chris Andrews about this at 4:30. Chris, a huge, huge Penn State fan. And the people there were ready to run James Franklin off. James Franklin left Vandy for Penn State, has never got on track there at Penn State after the mess Joe Paterno and his crew left. But this past weekend, they did defeat the Ohio State Buckeyes, giving them their first loss of the season. And now, much like Auburn, Penn State looking at a new season. But again, James Franklin, $4.5 million. Over in the ACC, Dabo Swinney, Clemson, the number two team in the land now that Ohio State has went down, $4.4 million. And out on the West Coast, the far left, Washington, number 25 at $3.6 million. Now, here's a couple that might surprise you and a couple of other stats before we start winding down. Brian Kelly, everybody knows Brian Kelly. If you don't, if you've been under a rock for the past few years, Brian Kelly, the coach at Notre Dame, $1.625 million, which to me seemed really low for a job like Notre Dame. I would like to talk to a Notre Dame fan and see what the deal is about this. Maybe he's got huge bonuses. I don't know, but $1.625 million for coaching Notre Dame. You would think Notre Dame probably the third, fourth most valuable football program in the nation. I know Texas is the number one. I think Michigan number two. Alabama coming in six or seven in the value of the football program, but Notre Dame's got to be in there at three or four, and Brian Kelly only making $1.5 million. And I say only because compared to the other coaches, that's really low for coaching a team like Notre Dame. A few more stats, and we'll move on, get off this. It just amazed me as I started reading over these numbers. There is 36 college football coaches that earn at least $3 million a year. That's up from only 9 in 2011. So since 2011, 27 more coaches have made $3 million a year or more, a total of 36. There's 128 Division I football programs. So not bad pay. If you got a kid that loves football, start putting a notepad in front of him. Maybe one of these days we'll be seeing him at Alabama or Auburn making $4 or $5 million. Seven coaches and buyouts, another huge part of a coach's package. But there's seven coaches currently in the NCAA that would be owed, and get a hold of this number now. If these schools fired these coaches at the moment, the school would only owe them at least $20 million if they're fired. People around Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Jimbo Fisher, they think they want Jimbo down in Louisiana. Well, get out your bank account and your neighbor's bank account and probably start a FundMe page, anything you can do. $33 million buyout for Jimbo Fisher. And I thought Jeffrey Sullins was calling in today. I wanted to mention that to him and see if he had any details on that. But $33 million, it's the highest buyout in the nation for Jimbo Fisher at Florida State. There is 33 coaches that have a buyout of at least $8 million. So you get fired, you're going to kick back, rake in $8, $10 million to do nothing, much like Les Miles is doing now. I think he was at $10, $11 million, something like that. So he don't have to work if he don't want to. Jim Harbaugh.
Is he working as a greeter at Walmart now or something?
Yeah, he probably is. I'm sure he's doing something. You know, they can't rest. I don't know what it is. But these college coaches, much like Chizik at Auburn, fired, drawing that Auburn money, but he went right back into TV. Now he's back into coaching. I don't know. I guess it's in their blood, and they can't live without it, Jay, much like you are with this radio station, I guess. Jim Harbaugh, as we talked about earlier, he is paid $9 million, but get this, he has no buyout. That's another sweet part of his package. If Jim Harbaugh decides today that he wants to pick up and take the LSU job, Jim Harbaugh is free to do so. There is no buyout in his coaching contract. Speaking of coaching contracts, I want to mention this again. Not a lot of news over the past few days about this, but we did mention it Tuesday when Ronnie and I was at the Downtown Grill. Rumor has it, and again, this is only rumor, but rumor has it, at the end of this season, Charlie Strong will be dismissed as the Texas head coach, and Tom Herman from Houston, the hot commodity at Houston, which here lately has not looked so hot, losing to SMU this past weekend. But tell is, Tom Herman will take over the helm at Texas, and LSU said to be interested in talking to Charlie Strong. Now, my question is, why would LSU be interested in Charlie Strong? He done decent at Louisville. Has been nothing but a disaster, or maybe a little short of disaster. I wouldn't call it disaster, but he's done. Let's go ahead and say it, disaster at Texas. He's had everything except support. And as Ronnie said the other day, from the day one he went in, a lot of the powers to be there at Texas not happy with the hire of Charlie Strong. And I don't think, as some people have said, they try to make a race issue out of everything. We're going to get into something here, Jay, probably not politically correct, but everything now is a race issue. It's not race. The people in Texas don't care if you're green, yellow, pink, or white, black, orange. Doesn't matter, as long as you win football games. And Charlie Strong is not winning football games at the University of Texas.
Jeffrey's ready to join you.
All right, we've got Jeffrey on the line, and I'm glad because I want to ask him about Jimbo Fisher. Jeffrey, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Well, first thing I want to say about that Charlie Strong thing, I hope he don't win another game.
Now, what's the deal with that, Jeffrey? Why you feel that way?
I want Texas to fire him before they hire him as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, now he would make a heck of a defensive coordinator like Chizik at North Carolina State, but do you agree or disagree that Charlie Strong just hasn't got the job done at Texas?
Oh, he's definitely not got the job done. Texas is like Florida. It is a cesspool of talent, and they should be up there every year. I mean, you're Texas, right, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, and the Longhorn Network, on top of that, they have their own TV network. I mean,
exactly. The helmet alone ought to give them a top 15 recruiting class every year, just the helmet.
Right. And, man, they can't get it done. What do you think? What's your thoughts on, and then I want to ask you about Florida State, but what are your thoughts about the possibility of Herman going to Texas and Strong going to LSU? You think it'll happen?
Strong going to the head coach?
Yeah, head coach is the tale that's being told, mm-hmm, that LSU's interested in Charlie Strong.
If they're interested in Charlie Strong, they're taking a step backwards. They fired Les Miles.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
In fact, I hope they do hire Charlie Strong. I hope they hire him or leave Orgeron, or how you pronounce his name, leave him as head coach, because I'd like to see the LSU program go down.
I heard somebody say if Saban was a huge chess player, he said he'd go in this game this weekend and lose against LSU because it's not going to affect him going to the playoff and lose. So they'd hire Orgeron or whatever his name is, and then he could beat him 40-0 for the next 5 years.
Yeah, we must have been listening to the same show because I heard the exact same thing. It wouldn't be a bad move if he knew he could get to the SEC championship and win out anyway. Because
exactly,
I think it would do LSU program in for 5 or 6 years.
Exactly.
Hey, Jeffrey, what about Jimbo Fisher, $33 million buyout? I didn't realize that until today.
I didn't know that either.
The highest buyout in the NCAA.
Well, that's pretty much saying if somebody wants to buy him out, they can buy him out, because then NFSU can go after anybody they want to.
Right. But, man, who it? Well, let's just say it. Nobody's going to pay $33 million. I mean, that's just not going to happen. So.
No. But I wish they would if he ain't going to fire Charles Kelly. I wish somebody would buy him out.
Right. And he may be a lot less miles. That's what done Les Miles in. He was given the opportunity time and time again to make changes there on the coaching staff at LSU, but he was unwilling to do it.
Well, Charles Kelly is the Jeff Bowden of defense. You remember when Bobby Bowden was fired Sam Jeff when the offense was so terrible.
What do you think?
The same thing on defense.
Jeffrey, we got about 4 minutes, so let me get to this real quick. What do you think about this weekend's game, Florida State and Clemson?
Oh, well, you know what I think.
You think Florida State's going to get them?
I told you that at the beginning of the year. I'm going to stick my gun to it. Now, in all reality, we're probably going to get drilled up and down the field because we can't stop. We can't beat ourselves out of a wet paper sack on defense.
Right. I don't know. I've got... Man, I had a feeling Clemson would win it, and now as the weeks went on, I'm getting an upset feeling. I'm feeling like Florida State may do it.
Well, I hope they do. Don't get me wrong. Until I see something different as a defensive coordinator, I don't know. Nothing surprises me with him anymore.
Right, and Clemson, a team that could put up a lot of points, and as you said, that Florida State defense, boy, has been suspect. And We'll see.
I'm going to be honest with you. I hope the Clemson team that played Auburn and the Clemson team that played NC State shows up. That's the team I hope shows up.
Boy, Jeffrey, you want to just squeak one out?
No, I want that Clemson team to show up. So then that way, Florida State can dwell on them. I will tell you this. Though, Clemson better be glad they got Auburn when they did, because if they had to play them by now, I think Auburn beat him by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think Auburn would get them now. I may be bad fooled. I don't know. What's your opinion of the Auburn-Arkansas game? What happened to Arkansas in that game?
Belima or whatever his name is.
Yeah, that's a coach I don't have a lot of use for.
Yeah, he's not very good at all.
I didn't like him, and then when I saw him do the Academy Award-winning act last year in the Alabama game where he acted like an Alabama player pushed him,
You mean that big shelf down on the sideline?
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah. I really disliked him.
That wasn't even a Golden Globe nominee. Right?
No, there wasn't even anybody looking his direction when he done that. So, give me a score. We got about 30 seconds, so I got to have a score out of you before we get off here.
Florida State Clemson?
Yeah, I want the Florida State Clemson. I'm going to write it down. Florida State, Clemson, and then I want to Auburn, Ole Miss.
I'm gonna say, 51-42, Florida State.
51-42. I wonder what the over/under in this game is. You got any idea?
I don't know, but I predict them both scoring a lot of points. Then the Auburn, Ole Miss game, I'm going to say 45-28, Auburn.
All right. I like those scores, Jeffrey. I like them. Hey, man, have a good weekend, and I'm with you. I hope Florida State takes Clemson down.
I do, too. Y'all have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks, Jeffrey. 425 Sports Talk Live. When we come back, we'll be visiting with Chris Andrews out of Las Vegas, Nevada. Stay with us. Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
This is Big D, the new voice of Live 95.5 from the popular Facebook page, What's Happening in Coleman, bringing you the Downtown Grill on 4th Street. where one of our many appetizers is waiting for you today. Like homemade onion rings, fried dill pickles, potato skins, and more, we also have a large selection from our salad menu to Coleman's Best Hot Wings, from traditional to boneless wings. We also have party packs from 50 to 100 pieces. At the Downtown Grill, we will even let you build your own burger or enjoy one of our classic sandwiches, chicken, shrimp, or crawfish baskets, or our gourmet hot dogs. You can't leave without having a delicious dessert of fried Twinkies, strawberry shortcakes, or fried Oreos. For the best comfort food in Coleman, the Downtown Grill is ready to serve you.
Did you know that you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill? Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Coleman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now, Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer to the service, or bundle with the Cyber Broadband cellular service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you signed up for broadband service to another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo, it's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of silver sneakers and silver fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
/4:29 back with you, Sports Talk Live, and again, our favorite time of the week when we get Mr. Chris Andrews in. I bet we've got a happy Chris Andrews today. Chris, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Welcome back, you guys. Yeah, I missed a week. It was like my whole week was thrown off when I had to cancel last week.
So. Hey, let me tell you this. Ronnie is out on me today. I'm flying solo here. Ronnie had a stomach bug attack him today, so he is in bed at home. So we don't have to listen to the Alabama stuff today. One good way of looking at it.
We'll just talk Auburn.
Yeah, that's it. Good. Chris, congratulations on the huge, huge win by Penn State. Is that the biggest win by Penn State since the Paterno era?
Yes, for sure, I would say. I can remember, we had two big ones against Ohio State. I remember being in Las Vegas for one, and my daughter was telling me about another one when she was there. They upset Ohio State, and, so I can remember a couple other big ones, but yeah, this is the biggest one since all the Sandusky and Paterno stuff. So big, big win for the program.
Yeah, man, that put a little more comfort, I guess you would say, in Franklin's world, I guess.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah, he definitely at least bought himself another year with that victory, at least.
Right. Chris, what do you see the rest of the season for Penn State? I mean, now people talking like they may win that side of the conference.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, they're playing pretty good ball right now. Listen, let's be honest. The offense still was not great against Ohio State.
Right.
You know, the defense, I think, really played well. I like McSorley. He's a nice, good, young quarterback. He's a little smallish. Barkley, I love it, running back. But really what was impressive is I thought their offensive and defensive lines really played exceptionally well against a team that is known for having good play in the trenches. That's what's really excited me. You know, I think they have a shot. You know, they have a shot to get over there on that side of the conference. But, I'm not kidding myself. I know they're not that great of a team at this point. But it really was a big step in the right direction for them. And like I said, the most impressive thing to me was the fact that their line, the offensive and defensive line, both played extremely well. And that's what I'm happiest about. I'd love to see them win it, but I'm not counting on anything. Just take that one for what it's worth.
And that's it. That's kind of like takes me into my next question about Auburn. Win or lose, I never expected what I saw last week, win or lose the rest of the year. Chris, it was a game that people thought was going to be close. Arkansas just seemed to give up or something. Auburn beats them 56-3. Do you think this Auburn team is for real, or is Arkansas just that bad?
I think Auburn's for real. You know, Jason, I texted you last week that I liked Auburn in the game, and I know it was a big number, but a lot of us in this business, we really try to look at cold hard facts, and the facts of the matter are that Auburn has been an improving team all year. And I think I heard some Clemson people talking today that when they were a little down on their team when they had a close game against Auburn and thought that showed that maybe they weren't that good. Right. Now you go back and look at that game and you say, wait a second, that was a pretty good game that we played against Auburn, against a pretty good team.
Right.
And I think that's what I think Auburn is a legit team. I think you look at the last couple years, that's probably more the aberration. I think Kevin Steele doing a pretty good job. I think he had to maybe get his feet underneath him as far as that defense. But we knew Melzon, at least we believed Melzon to be an offensive guy, and it's starting to show that this team is pretty legit. Matter of fact, I got to tell you, Jason, really, I wrote an article for my old website, and they wanted me to kind of recap some of the top of the college football. And I said, listen, it's very difficult for a two-loss team to make the Final Four playoffs. But you look at Auburn and LSU, and if they could win out and win that SEC, even with two losses, I think either one of them you'd have to put in there. Now, there's a lot to be, a long way to go. They have to beat Alabama, first of all, both of them. Auburn are going to have to do it on the road. So that's going to be very difficult. But, if you're looking for a big sleeper out there, Auburn's one. And I got to tell you, one of my real sharp bettors made me a pretty solid bet this last week on Auburn to win the national championship.
Oh, wow.
He took like 50-1. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's stabbing in the dark, sort of. But he's a pretty sharp guy, and this guy's not known for throwing away his money. And he made me a pretty good bet. And I looked at it, and that's what kind of got me thinking, you know what? They do have a chance. I mean, I think the guy's entitled to 50-1, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
But they do have a chance.
Hey, Chris, I'm glad you brought that up, and you're talking about your business, and you got into it a little bit, but I want to ask you some more, because this game really puzzled me. In fact, I told you, and I'll tell the listeners now, this game hit me pretty hard because I was on the wrong side of it. I was one of the dummies that took Arkansas plus the 10 points. Not only did I take them, but I took them for a pretty sizable amount for entertainment purposes only.
Sure.
And but in your business, what goes into this? I mean, how did you come up with Auburn being a 9.5 or 10-point favorite? Because most of the fans around here looked at this game and said Auburn wins it by 3 to 7 points.
Well, Jason, I'm not sure I could just give you an exact formula. I mean, I know I have my methodology, and everybody's going to be a little bit different, and that's how we have gambling. You're going to look at one thing, I'm going to look at another. But, I always, of course, look at the final scores. That's what we pay on is the final scores. But, the final score doesn't tell you everything. you know, from the final score, now you have to go back and look, you know, was it, you know, team won because of a bunch of turnovers, or they had, you know, a punt return and, that sort of thing. So, you know, the final score, of course, is, you know, certainly one of the most important things. But then you go break down, you look at, like, to me, the second most important thing is yards per pass, yards per attempt, pass attempt, and then I like to look at the differential. Or, you know, kind of like the same thing, or at least very similar, is, you know, the passing, the passer rating.
Right.
You know, that over, that 100-something number. And again, I like to look at the differential. Then I look at the total yards rushing. You know, I don't like to look at the average so much. I look more total yards. And those are things you just start kind of putting together and just trying to build a profile of a team. And from that, you just create a power rating. And you just, I kind of let the rating do the talking. You know, if it's a 10-point favorite, that's what they add up to. Then that's where I start. Then I try to look a little closer to see if it would be something that maybe I want to deviate from that. But, you know, most of the guys, the successful guys I know, you know, keep pretty meticulous records and, you know, study it pretty hard. And really, the key is coming up with that power rating and going from there. There's some different, like I said, there's going to be some different methodologies.
Right.
And I respect that, but most of the guys I respect the most do it similar to the way I do. And that's who I tried to learn off of.
Right. And, man, I mean, you guys amaze me, especially the NFL game, how close that line usually is. If you're going to make money on the NFL as a bettor, you've got to be on top of your game, too, because that line is always seems to be right in there. So, man, hats off to you. What a great job y'all do doing that, because I know it's got to be hours upon hours of, as you said, studying and hard work put into it.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. You know, Monday, you know, like Sunday and Monday, everybody, Sunday, I'd love to just sit back and watch the games. To tell you the truth, I spent all day going over the colleges from the day before.
Yeah.
You know, and then Monday, well, at least Monday morning, you know, pros actually takes a little less time. But then I'm going back and recapping what I looked at Sunday in the colleges. Because, listen, you're always going to miss something. There's so many games, it's almost impossible to go through every one of those box scores. And have a full understanding of what happened. And so, you know, I mean, we're booking stuff like Georgia State and, you know, things like that. Tonight we got Georgia Southern, Appalachian State.
Yeah.
Pretty big game. Well, you better know those teams at least a little bit, you know, if you're going to put up your money and let people bet against you.
Right.
You know,
and
so,
not only,
I know
you,
it all.
Not only do you have to come up with a line you feel comfortable with, but folks, Chris has to come up with a line that draws money. And you don't want to draw too much money to one side, so that line's got to be in there where you're going to have about as many people take one side as you do the other.
Yeah, we sure want to keep it close. We're not looking to be exact, but we want to keep it as close as we can because, you know, that's what gives us the best edge
in the
long run.
Hey, Alabama took care of Texas A&M. Not a lot of talk about that game around these parts because Alabama done just to what was expected. They took care of it, actually covered. What's your thoughts on Alabama and Texas A&M?
Well, you know, I said before, you know, you're not going to get rich betting on Nick Saban, but you're sure aren't going to get rich betting against him either, you know. And I think right now he's done a remarkable job with this team. He had a lot of turnover, which he does every year. He also has a top recruiting class, again, which he has just about every year. And, you know, you're supposed to win with that, but sometimes what you're supposed to do and what you do isn't, you know, it's easier said than done.
Right.
And I think Saban's done a heck of a job. And right now, you know, I got him 6-5 to win the national championship. And, you know, they're still betting them. I mean, Bama looks awful tough. And I'm not sure who, hey, listen, anybody could lose a football game or win a football game. You know, but it's going to take some beating to beat this Alabama team. They're pretty good.
The margin of error is so small, and when you can count on the Alabama defense to get you a touchdown each game, I've never saw anything like that.
Yeah, what is it? The defense has scored more touchdowns than they've allowed. You know, that's how can that be?
Yeah, that's just not right. That's not fair.
No, it isn't.
Hey, Chris, looking at the week, this week coming up, if you would, give us your thoughts on a few of these games, and then we're going to get you a little later to give us your picks. But a few games of interest, Nebraska at Wisconsin.
I think this is a tough one because I think Wisconsin wins that game. And I think Wisconsin is one of those teams where they were probably a little better than we thought. When they beat LSU early in the season, again, we thought maybe that showed LSU wasn't that good. I think just the opposite. I think Wisconsin is probably a little better than we thought. Now, they win a lot of games. They don't cover a lot of games. So I think if I was betting a game, I would lean more towards Nebraska as far as betting with the point spread. But I think if you're looking for the winner of the game, I think Wisconsin's the winner. I think they're a pretty good team. You know, Nebraska, you know, I think they might be a year away. I really thought they'd be vastly improved this year. They lost so many games last season under a first-year coach. Usually those kind of teams improve quite a bit, and they did. They have improved. But I still think they're probably a year away from being a real legitimate contender in the Big Ten.
Okay, what about Baylor at Texas? Boy, the heat coming down on Charlie Strong.
Well, there is a lot of heat coming on Charlie Strong. Unfortunately, I think a lot of it is well-deserved. But, boy, I just don't like this Baylor program. You know, I mean, year in and year out. For the last couple of years, they really should have played a much tougher out-of-conference schedule. And they just keep scheduling cupcakes. And, you know, besides all the allegations against them, hiding some of the rape allegations and that sort of thing. I mean, I just don't have much respect for the whole program.
Right. Don't you know the Baptist Association is proud of Baylor University?
Jeez, oh man, I know. You know, I mean, man, oh man, you're supposed to be a Christian university and all that stuff. That's disgraceful. I always said, they make Penn State look like maybe we're not quite that bad.
Good company.
I shouldn't joke about things like that because really it's tragic on both sides. But, man, oh, man, I'm stuck with Penn State. You know, I mean, they got a lot of my money when I paid for my daughter to get through there. But I'm not stuck with Baylor. So I'll be rooting for Texas. And I'll say I kind of like Texas a little bit this week. I think the players like Charlie Strong. Maybe he hasn't done a good job, and maybe he's gone after this year. I kind of think he will be. But I think the players will give him a pretty good effort. And I kind of like Texas to beat Baylor this week. I think they beat him outright.
Okay, good deal. Game of big interest, I guess, especially out your way, Washington at Utah.
Well, this is another one. I think, Washington has done everything that they've had to do. Again, I think this is probably a year earlier than I expected Washington to be a national power. But when Chris Peterson went over there, I knew he'd be successful. That's really been kind of a sleeping giant for a while. If you remember, Jason, I think you're probably about my age, but probably about 20 years ago or so, you know, Washington was one of the best teams in the country when Don James was up there.
Yeah.
They had a heck of a run. You know, and, I've been up there. My kid lives in Seattle, so I've been up in that area. And there's some pretty good high school football. There are a lot of good athletes come out of there. If you just start keeping those kids at home, you're going to do well. And Peterson, I think, is a real good coach. You know, I hate laying that many points on the road, and I think Utah is one of those places that's probably a lot tougher to play than people realize. I think 10 is probably about the right number, but I kind of like Washington in this game. I think they are pretty darn good. We don't know for sure yet, but I think they are pretty good.
Right, and after this game, it could be home free for Washington. That schedule looks real favorable. So. All right.
Yeah, now they got Wash State, though. Wash State's pretty tough. That's going to be a big rivalry game, too. You know, so that's going to be a pretty tough game.
I'm going to swap these two around. I'm going to give you Auburn at Ole Miss next.
Man, that's a tough one.
What is it now, 4.5?
Yeah, we are up to 4.5. You know, as much as I like Auburn, I liked them last week, I think the number might have caught up with them a little bit this week. You know, I thought the number should be more like 3. I definitely felt they deserved to be the favorite in Ole Miss. But Ole Miss, I mean, they're up and down. That's the thing. They're very hard to rely on for any kind of performance. You know, they're good and they're bad. I kind of like Ole Miss with the 4.5. I think that they'll probably play a pretty good game against Auburn. You know, I'm kind of rooting for Auburn at this point because of my old friend Jason.
Yeah, there you go.
But
we need all the help we can get, too.
I understand. But I'm kind of, you've turned me into a little bit of an Auburn fan, you know, but I think this is a tough game, and I think the number just got a little bit high. I think like last week was the week to bet on Auburn, and I think sometimes maybe if you're going to start chasing that, I think you're chasing results at this point. I think the number got a little bit too high. Listen, they might cover and everything this week too. But I think the numbers kind of caught up to them. There, it's a fair number, and even may have gone a little bit too far.
Okay. One more, Clemson at Florida State.
You know, I think Florida State, they're another one of those teams. You don't know for sure what you're going to get on a week-to-week basis. But I kind of like them this week. That's another one. I think the number has maybe gotten a little bit too high. And people like Clemson, and they should. But, you know, they're really not as good as they were last year. And,
no, I don't think so either.
You know, I don't know if it's kids reading their press clippings or whatever. But, you know, the running game hasn't been there. And I know Gallman's been hurt a lot. But I think that they're just not as good at third down conversions, scoring efficiency, running the football, all the intangibles that they had last year. They're just not getting it this year. And not that Florida State's been any great shakes, but I think Florida State gives them a really good game this week, and I like Florida State with the points.
Okay. We talked a little bit about Charlie Strong earlier, so let's talk about the coaching rumor mill next. You may have heard this rumor, Chris, and it may be just something that I've read off of some wacky internet site, but the rumor is saying that Tom Herman will be the next Texas coach, that Charlie Strong will be relieved of his duties at the end of this season, and that LSU is showing some interest in Charlie Strong.
I've heard all those same things. I don't know. You know, Jason, right now, if you have an internet connection and a keyboard, you can say almost anything,
right,
you know, if
right.
It gets repeated. I don't know what to think.
My question is, why would LSU be interested in Charlie Strong?
You know, that's the question right there. I think if Charlie Strong does indeed get fired by Texas, I think if he doesn't take a year off, I think he's going to have to step down a notch.
Yeah.
And I know Texas is probably one of the premier coaching jobs in America, but so is LSU. I don't want to start naming some other names, but I think he would have to go. I think he'd have to drop down. And, you know, Louisville was a real good job. And obviously, Louisville's a national title contender. But when he left Louisville for Texas, that was an obvious step up. And I think he's going to have to take an obvious step down. I can't see LSU hiring him when, you know, if Ed Orgeron keeps going the way he's going, I have a feeling Orgeron's going to get that job myself. That's maybe,
wow.
Maybe I'm just turning a blind eye. I know he wasn't very good at Mississippi, but, you know, God, he's been really good at LSU. He finished really good at USC, and
yeah.
Seems like those people down there just love him. You know, Jason, we talked about it before. That's kind of a quirky state and a quirky school, and you know, Orgeron's about as quirky a guy as you could get.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He might fit in there pretty good.
Wow. And one other question on coaches, when you talked about wacky, what do you think about Harbaugh now, the highest paid coach?
Well,
you know, those two do have something in common. Both of them have been known to get out and take their shirt off and run around yelling in practice.
Listen, he's a nut job. There's no doubt about
right.
it. But, you know, he's gotten results. And I saw some guy, you know, I mean, I didn't go through all the fine tuning of everything he said, you know, but he showed how mathematically, you know, fiscally, you know, made sense that, you know, Harbaugh meant that much to the university. You know, of course, he was talking about, you know, Brady Hoke, the last coach, who, you know, was not very successful. I mean, that's the thing. Once you get up to that level, I mean, who's to say, you know, Harbaugh is any better than, you know, Urban Meyer or Nick Saban or Gus Malzahn. But, you know, there's no doubt. You can, it's not automatic. You know, Michigan had a heck of a program really my entire life. And, you know, Brady Hoke did not do a good job there. And they suffered. And, You know, listen, you've been around too. Remember, you know, Alabama, we think, okay, just anybody can win there. Oh, really? You know, I mean, Shula couldn't win there.
Those were some great years.
Yeah, I mean, they're you loved, I'm sure you were very much enjoying those times.
Every time they hired a coach named Mike, I just grinned. So
yeah. You know, so there's times when Auburn's done that too. I mean, really, you could go through just about every school. I mean, every team has had their down times. And, you know, so, I mean, it's not automatic, but, I don't know, $9 million for coaching. And, you know, it seems like an awful lot. And we're talking about, you know, Michigan. I don't know when the last time you were in Michigan. That's a state that's really, kind of downtrodden lately. And I'm sure that, the taxpayers of Michigan, maybe they're happy with that, but I think I'd be saying, geez, we really got to pay them. $9 million? Well, we couldn't get away with paying them $6 million. Gee, I don't know.
We pay a football coach $9 million, and what does the president make? Maybe $500,000 to $1 million a year?
Something. Yeah, I think he makes $500,000. You know, but meanwhile, you know, they had that water thing that's still going on in Michigan. You know, people were drinking poison water.
And maybe that's why they're paying him $9 million.
$9 million probably go a long way to fixing that problem.
Yeah.
I think.
All right, Chris, give me your top four teams as of today. If the playoff were to hit today, who would you have in the playoffs?
Well, you know, I'd have Alabama. I'd have Washington. You know, I would have Clemson, you know, even though I'm not sure they're one of the four best, but I think they would be in there. And I would have Michigan. That would be my top four.
That sounds like a winner to me.
I think that would be it.
You got any hot picks this weekend? Anything that we need to be looking at that might add a dime to our paycheck?
Well, you know, I always got a few weird ones on me, you know. That's so here's the ones I like. Okay, tomorrow night I like Utah State getting 6 points against San Diego State. By the way, I don't like anything tonight. Pretty good slate of games, but I just don't really like anything.
Yeah.
Probably gun to my head, I'd play Appalachian State would be the one side that I would play. But I would not bet them. Numbers too close. But tomorrow night, I like Utah State against San Diego State. I like South Florida against Navy. You know, so that's two tomorrow night that I kind of like. So South Florida, Utah State. Then on Saturday, again, some strange ones. I like Miami of Ohio. I like Indiana. I like Wyoming. I think they got a chance to actually beat Boise State. I think this Wyoming team's a coming team. Florida State, I gave you. I really like Florida State. That's who I like against Clemson. And that's why I was kind of hesitant naming Clemson in my Final Four. But, you know, until they lose, I think they deserve to be in there. And the other one I would tell you is Oklahoma State. You know, I've kind of been on West Virginia all year. I like them, but that's another one where I think the number has finally caught up with them. You know, I think they're a very good team, but this is only their second time away from Morgantown, and that's a tough travel. You know, Oak State, pretty tough home team. You know, they've upset a lot of teams in Stillwater over the years, and, you know, here they go again. You're getting points. They're a little inconsistent, no doubt about it. But they're a very good team that can really score. And I like Oak State quite a bit this week against West Virginia.
Good deal. NFL side, my Panthers 1-5 now. Man, it's looking bad for my Panthers. But is there anything else out there that NFL worth looking at?
Well, I didn't like too much in the NFL this week. I kind of like the Falcons. I think that probably Green Bay, another team, very, very good at home, but not all that great on the road. And, you know, we talked about Rodgers. I don't know if there's something wrong. I have a real good friend of mine who, close to the Green Bay outfit, he emailed me a long email, told me that he's got love on his mind. He's with that Olivia Munn.
Yeah.
Who, I couldn't pick her out of a lineup, to tell you the truth.
I don't either. I have no idea.
But I know she's a movie star.
Oh, yeah, and you know it.
He's very much in love with her, you know. So he told me that's just distracting him from football. You know, I don't know. Listen, we've all had a couple of gals in our lives that maybe weren't the best thing for us, and maybe that's the case right now with Rodgers. But I kind of like the Falcons right there, and I like the Raiders. I think the Raiders go into Tampa. And, you know, I think the Raiders are a pretty good team. They've traveled pretty well this year. They've always been a good home team over the years, but this year they're playing some good ball on the road. I think they go into Tampa and win that game. I kind of like those are the two games I like the most. And I hate to say, Monday night I hate laying points on the road on a Monday night game, but I think Minnesota is the right side against the Bears. I think Minnesota just had their one bad game, and I think the Bears are just a real bad team. So those are the three games I like the best.
Chris, I feel a parlay coming up off all these you give today. So.
Okay.
Hey, Chris.
I hope you hit it, my friend.
We've run out of time, man. We've had a little more, but we'll have to get it next time. So I appreciate you joining us, and hope you have a great weekend, most of all, a profitable weekend. So.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Always a pleasure, and let's go knock them dead this week. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Okay. See you, Jason.
All right.
Bye-bye, pal.
All right, Chris Andrews joining us each week, and man, he had the games today. So if you wrote those down, I'll go back over them when we come back later. Up next, Dan Vosta from Campus Insider. Until then, Sports Talk Live 95.5.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network. ARN News is provided as a service of Coleman Regional Medical Center. You don't have to go vegan or take up yoga to improve your health. You can store some healthy snacks at work, like almonds or mandarin oranges. Read nutrition labels, wash your hands frequently, and stick to a regular sleep schedule. Staying healthy isn't one choice. It's a lot of little ones. That's why, at Coleman Regional, we offer so many. For info on free screenings, to find your doctor, and more, you can visit ColemanRegional.com/healthy. Coleman Regional. Live exceptional.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Drought conditions worsen across Alabama. The U.S. Drought Monitor's highest classification, exceptional drought, has now moved into Jefferson and Shelby counties. The report shows double the percentage of the state affected by exceptional drought from last week after only traces of rain fell in some parts of Alabama. Officials say this is the first time since March 2011 the entire state now ranges from either moderate to exceptional drought. The Alabama Forestry Commission says crews are battling wildfires in the Birmingham metro area. There's a fire burning at the old mining strip pit in Brookside. A fire near I-20 in Leeds is contained, but likely will burn for days. More than 12,000 acres across Alabama have suffered wildfires in the last month. A retired police officer is recovering after an accidental shooting. He was at the FOP range in Coleman County when his gun went off. It hit him in the leg. He was airlifted to UAB Hospital. The former officer now expected to be okay. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. A Bessemer attorney's lawsuit against the Supreme Court dismissed by a federal judge, Austin Burdick, sued the high court over its decision to legalize gay marriage. He says the justices not only threw out the Constitution, but abandoned their oaths of office by making same-sex marriage legal. Burdick says the decision redefined the terms of liberty and freedom, and that affects his law practice, and he wants to challenge what he calls judicial immunity. Burdick says he will file an appeal. A federal grand jury has indicted the former general manager of Malloy Automotive Group in Jasper for theft. 59-year-old Robert Malloy facing a conspiracy as well as wire and mail fraud charges for stealing more than $900,000 from the business. According to the indictment, Malloy received money from a vendor and deposited the check into a bank account he controlled. A Mobile woman arrested in Florida for trying to bring a loaded gun into Disney's Animal Kingdom. Deputies say the woman had the loaded weapon in her backpack. Bailey Turner told cops she had an Alabama permit, but when they checked, it turns out the permit had expired. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN.
Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit, make a plan, be informed today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
In sports, less than 2 weeks away from the start of basketball season at the Capstone, Tide guard Riley Norris says they're much improved as head coach Avery Johnson gets his second season underway.
I think he's getting after it a lot this year, preseason-wise, because he knows what we expect. We know what he expects, and we just go out and try to do the best we can.
Bama ranks seventh in the SEC this season. Meanwhile, the Bama football team is off this weekend and will take on LSU November 5th. Meanwhile, Auburn prepping to take on Ole Miss this weekend. Kickoff at 6:15. Lots of folks already at Legion Field in Birmingham getting ready for the McDonald's Magic City Classic on Saturday. Birmingham Fire preparing as well. Members are passing out flyers warning against campfires. Tailgaters are only allowed to bring grills with tops on them, and the fire department is urging everyone to have a fire extinguisher. And the SEC could have a record number of first-round picks in the 2017 NFL Draft. Mock drafts being updated weekly. It's becoming clear the SEC's loaded with NFL talent. Angie Norfell, ARN Sports.
Providing Coleman with a unique blend of music from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.
Back with you, 5:02, and each week on Thursday afternoon, we bring in Mr. Dan Busta from Campus Insider. Dan, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Happy Thursday to y'all.
Hey, Dan, the first question, is it as hot up your way as it is here? We were just talking about it's 80, 85 degrees in the end of October.
No, it's actually, it is supposed to be nice this weekend, but it's only about, in the low to mid-50s, but this weekend for the World Series at Wrigley, it's supposed to be up close to the 70s for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday's going to be decent for the trick-or-treaters, but 50 today and then better this weekend, and then we'll see what happens. We'll probably get back to fall weather.
All right, good. Hey, Dan, I know around here the talk before
I don't think we've seen fall weather here yet. We're still waiting on it.
No, we're still blooming here. The talk before the last Saturday was everything was Alabama, Texas A&M, but I want to start with my Auburn Tigers and the shocker they pulled off by beating Arkansas 56-3. Give me your thoughts on that game, and the big question to you, what happened to Arkansas? Did they fold the tent, or just what do you think?
Yeah, they ran into a buzzsaw is what happened. It was just a nightmare, an albatross for the Razorbacks, and you know what, I thought Auburn the last couple of years, I've been saying they're a hot or cold team, and it seems every year, whenever you think they're going to do well, they don't. And this year, I didn't think they were going to do too well, and I'll gladly talk up the Auburn Tigers because they were obviously one of the more impressive teams this past weekend. Amazing to run for 543 yards. It's the most ever in a regular season SEC game, second most in any type of SEC game, which includes the conference championship games, which it almost reminded me of the 2013 game against Mizzou, right, where they ran for 545, except obviously Arkansas was nearly shut out. So video game numbers was what we saw, and it's just amazing what Auburn in the trenches have done. I talked up their defensive line for a couple of years, but I thought the offense was going to struggle this year, and clearly not so fast because Braden Smith and Alex Kozan, those guards, the ability to pull, so athletic, but more so just the beef up front. It doesn't matter who's running behind in the backfield, but you see what Cameron Petway has done this year, the leading rusher in the SEC, one of the better players. That's really come out of nowhere from the summer. Not sure if anybody was talking about him, and all of a sudden he's been one of the better running backs in the country. They've gotten enough from their passing game, talented and young receivers that are starting to be a little bit more proven, but this game was just running it down Arkansas's mouth, and they had no, response, no answer to do so. So this looks more of a Gus Malzahn type of offense where they can run at will against you. They run downhill. They could go to the outside and the edges. Speed's not a lack thereof. Plenty of that. But the beef, a little bit of that 2013 season with Nick Marshall and Trey Mason, just their ability to gash the opposition for 6-7 yards a pop, and then before you know it, they go 50-plus yards for a touchdown. So one of the more impressive teams this season, and I can't say enough. Great teams have always been built from the inside out. I thought they'd be pretty respectable in the trenches. They've been more than that. They've been, comparable to the 85 Bears the past couple of weeks in the trenches. They've been simply dominant. And all of a sudden, on paper, they'll be favored in every game before the Iron Bowl. So all of a sudden, from a potentially a 500 year at best, all of a sudden you're looking like a potential New Year's Six, or at least a lovely Citrus or Outback Bowl minimum, with obviously the chance, which I'm sure War Dan Eagle fans would be appreciative of, potentially ruining Alabama's season, potentially. So lots on the line for Auburn. They've just been bearing the opposition in the trenches. You can make a case. They're in the top two or three in the country in terms of in the trenches type of play. Just been sensational. Making it look easy as well.
Man, you made me feel good, Dan. That's the best talk I've heard about Auburn in a while. So, and I think you answered my next question, but I'm going to throw a bit of it out.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you're bragging on the Auburn team. Do you think it Auburn is that good, or do you think it's just a case of catching Arkansas at the right time? Arkansas has been on a stretch needing a break.
Yeah, a little bit of both. I would lean more towards Auburn's way, but obviously Arkansas, a monumental or a little bit of a big time win for them at home against the Rebels of Ole Miss 2 weeks ago. So I'm not sure if they were, I wouldn't say fully prepared for Auburn, but the emotions get the best of young kids these days, and they just ran into a buzzsaw though. That atmosphere at Auburn, they always say the experts in the desert knew something was brewing, and clearly Auburn played their best game of the year. Arkansas played arguably one of their worst, but they're still a respectable 7-plus win team for me. But just looks like Auburn looks like the hottest two or three teams in the nation right now today at this moment in time. And it was a little bit of both, but more towards Auburn. You got to give them credit. It was just amazing to see how dominant they were in the trenches. And despite how talented Arkansas's receivers were, they couldn't protect Austin Allen, and the rest was history.
And you talked about the guys out in the desert. Well, we just talked to one, or I just talked to one. Ronnie, by the way, is out sick today. He got the stomach bug.
Okay.
But he had told me 9.5, 10 points, Auburn. I didn't much believe it, tell you the truth, Dan, and I went the other way, put my coins on Arkansas plus 10, and needless to say, I've regretted it ever since then. But hey, moving over to Alabama, the game kind of looked like what we expected. Not a lot of talk about it because Alabama went out and done what was expected, give Arkansas a thrashing in the end, even though it's close, there for about a quarter and a half. Give me your thoughts on that game.
Yeah, I mean, similar to Auburn, it's amazing how eerily similar. I love the O-line of Auburn, and obviously Carl Lawson and Montrevious Adams are two stars this year, and you could argue the last couple of years. But Alabama, as we know, maybe the only team I would maybe take over Auburn in terms of right now how talented they are in the trenches. That's how impressive Auburn was going the year. But for this Bama team, it's amazing. Every year they reload in the trenches. Offensive line, I thought, would have been, I wouldn't say an issue for them, but if there was a weakness going the year, obviously their inability, they've given up some big yards against the pass, but the offensive line lost some studs from a year ago, and yet here they are. Bradley Bozeman has been a tremendous center, maybe one of the better ones in the country for the Remington Award year at the end of the year, and obviously Jonah Williams, a young freshman tackle. Obviously, we know about Cam Robinson, one of the better premier tackles in the country. But it's the little guys that don't get the love in the trenches that win championships and consistently win games, specifically in the SEC. And they find these guys, and it seems like they just fall out of trees. And here we are with Alabama, so balanced offensively. They have NFL wideouts and tight end and O.J. Howard. But their ability doesn't matter who's back there. It could be Jacobs, could be Scarborough, could be Harris. And obviously, one of the better running quarterbacks in the country in Jalen Hurts. So it doesn't really matter who's running the football. Their offensive line has just been arguably the best thing for the college football season this year. So with that, it makes it simple. Everybody's job's easier. And, oh, yeah, that number one defense arguably in the country can lick their chops. Did a great job slowing down that A&M offense. So this team's scary good. Alabama-Auburn got lots to be proud of today because that was maybe one of the best weekends both these teams collectively have had, maybe since 2013. So it's been a couple, good weeks in a row now for both these teams, and they're hoping the momentum can carry. But Bama, they play towards a flawless expectations. Dominance is continued. And now they continue to play one week at a time. As we know, the SEC schedule can get at you any time. So luckily these two teams Auburn and Bama 1-2. O-line, D-line, as good as anybody in the country.
You talked about Alabama players losing to the NFL and just reloading year after year. Ronnie on Tuesday was reading Mel Kiper's mock draft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 4 of the top 20 picks were Alabama players.
Yeah. Yeah, their defense alone is as good as I've seen in maybe the entire Nick Saban era, which is saying something because I've heard they've had a few good players in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, just a few have went through there. Hey, at times, though, Saturday, Dan, Alabama did finally look human. Mm-hmm. But in your opinion, is there another team in college football that can challenge Alabama, or is it pretty much Alabama and everybody else in a different league?
Yeah, I think it is Alabama and everybody else, but I think they can certainly be challenged. This is an A&M team that still has a chance to get that number 4 seed, if you will, for the CFP. They can win out and look somewhat impressive doing so against the likes of Ole Miss and LSU still on the schedule, so some big names still. But that was, you know, a good A&M team that Alabama was able to handle in the second half, but obviously a great ball game for pretty much the first three quarters. But after Alabama, I thought going the year, Clemson, Ohio State on paper have good talent, but they've both flirted with disaster. Obviously, the Buckeyes have a loss now, but Clemson has their hands full with Florida State. So we'll have to wait and see who's there at the end of the year. It's been a little bit of a chaos is starting to begin with the Buckeyes losing. Michigan, I think, is built a little bit like Alabama, but I just don't think they're quite nearly as explosive offensively as Alabama. But they have some players that would certainly start or at least play big-time snaps for the Tide. But Jabril Peppers of Michigan, that Charles Woodson and Desmond Howard-like athlete is putting Michigan back to the near the top, right below Bama. So I think Michigan on paper, but they sum it up, nobody is going to be within 6.5 or less points right now, they're saying, on a neutral field. I think Michigan, you could argue maybe Ohio State to get back in and win out. Clemson would be the closest within 7.5. Potentially Florida State if they were to win out, but they're of a long shot, I think, right now. But a couple teams still there that I've mentioned. LSU as well with that night game in Death Valley. I think it's a team that Alabama obviously going to take seriously, and obviously some of the LSU players are already counting that as a W for some reason. But nonetheless, outside those 5-6 teams, Bama, you could argue, is almost 2 touchdowns plus better than the rest of America.
Right. You talked about it a little bit. I want to hit on it a little bit more. The upset of the week, if not the year, as you've already said, Ohio State goes down to Penn State. Can Penn State continue winning and turn this into somewhat of a party spoiler by winning their side of the conference?
Yeah, yes and no. Yes, I think they can win out. They'll be at least favored to win out, which would be a 10-2 record. The one loss to Pitt, non-conference, so it doesn't matter there. But they lost to Michigan, obviously, in Ann Arbor. So they're going to need the Wolverines to lose 2 games, which is going to be borderline impossible, barring some injuries or some big-time upsets. So, right. No, they're probably not going to have a chance to win their division. Still going to be that second, third place right there with the Buckeyes, potentially. But if they can go 10-2, they'll play in the Capital One or Citrus Bowl. Who knows, potentially a New Year's Six Bowl, but at least a New Year's Day game, which would be huge for James Franklin, obviously, to keep his job. They have a great chance to finish the year near the top 12 or so. So, and a couple weeks ago, after they lost to Pitt on the road, where it seemed to give up 100 points, all of a sudden they've circled the wagons. And it's great when college football has the premier programs being relevant. And Penn State's relevant. Their offense is pretty capable, and their defense, you know, plays great, like they did against the Buckeyes. They're a legit top 15 team. So we'll see if they stumble, though. I mean, they haven't exactly been very consistent this season, which makes the upset even more so, more amazing, since they were 3 touchdown dogs. But even the likes of Purdue and Indiana, I think, could put a scare into Penn State. So on paper, I don't think they're a top 15 team, but if they could somehow win out, get to a bowl game, and more likely lose to an SEC team, such as maybe Auburn, or LSU, still a 10-3 year would be great for the Nittany Lions. So, no, they're not going to win their division. They'll probably come close enough. But it looks like they're back of being at least a top 25 team, which is something they haven't been able to say too often lately.
All right. A final question about last week, and then we'll move on to this week's game. But give me your 2 biggest surprises from last weekend, and what were a couple of the weekend's biggest disappointments?
Yeah, Buckeyes, I think they take the cake for disappointments, along with the Houston Cougars, who were kind of embarrassed on the road at SMU. The Mustangs took it to them, who may not even make a bowl game. Houston, preseason, when they beat Oklahoma after the first week, they were getting hyped and loved to make the CFP, and I just got a paper here that says, in my eyes, they would finish maybe 13th in the SEC, and that was
wow.
a preseason top 10 team. So, yeah, I think Mississippi State and maybe Vandy or South Carolina would be the only teams that I think would be in a pick 'em type of game with Houston. Outside of that, give me the rest of the entire conference. So they're a big disappointment because they were top of the, you know, the mountain per se. After they beat Oklahoma, legit people honestly thought they had a chance to make the CFP. I was not one of those. I thought they would have a really good year, and all of a sudden they might even live up to a top 20 type of season being unranked right now. So throw them with the Buckeyes for my disappointments, along with Michigan State, who's lost again. And while they get Michigan a rivalry game where perhaps they can make their season by at least making it close, the Spartans have fallen off the map. They've fallen off the face of the earth, looking like they're not going to make a bowl game this year. So quite the year. A couple of our teams that have struggled throughout the year, like Oregon, have just not lived up to the hype. But for surprises, I think the Oklahoma-Texas Tech game, wasn't shocked we saw over 100 points, but Patrick Mahomes, an NFL prospect, junior quarterback for the Red Raiders, set the all-time FBS record for most yards of total offense, over 800 yards. He ended up tying the passing game record, well over 500 in that one as well, so should say over 600 yards passing. So that was a little surprising. I didn't think a record would be broken in that game, though. As we talk throughout the season, we know my stance on the Big 12 and how struggling they can be defensively every play, essentially. But and then throwing Auburn, I think it was certainly surprising to see them win by just over half a hundred, so nearly. So and that was just a complete ball game for the Auburn Tigers. I didn't mention them. I got to throw them in the Alabama hat for teams that can compete with them, because right now, Auburn, I would argue, they're pretty darn close to a Michigan-like team where they can just bury you in the trenches and they have an exceptional defense, and doesn't matter who's playing the quarterback position. You or me can hand the ball off 50 times and watch right. the running backs pave their way to pay dirt. So those were my surprises and disappointments this past weekend.
Okay, good deal. Looking at this week's game, a couple of games look interesting, at least on paper, and we know sometimes those don't turn out that way. But the biggest game of the week, Florida State, Clemson, give us a quick look at that game and what to expect, and then top it off with give us your score.
Yeah, I certainly think this will be the game of the week. It's going to be a back-and-forth affair. Clemson could afford to lose this game. They prefer not to, so they can make it a dominant, flawless season where there's no doubt they're going to make the CFP if they were to go 13-0. If they lose, all of a sudden, Florida State, who's almost right to the top 10 right now, I'd imagine they would jump inside the top 8 or 9, depending on how the upsets flow this weekend. But I really like Florida State at home this weekend. This can be a classic battle between these two teams the last few years. So obviously, you know, Florida State blew him out in 2013 when they had Jameis, and the year after when he was suspended was quite the thriller, as was last year. So give me the Noles in a shootout, 38-31. The Clemson offense is good as anybody's, perhaps the skilled players, but as we've seen, Auburn dominated Clemson in the opener in the trenches and nearly got a W. I think Florida State will look the blueprint what Auburn showed in the opener, and other teams have really done. Clemson's really had three or four, you could argue five games this year where they've nearly lost or maybe not looked too good by any means. So given the Noles, I think Dalvin Cook goes off. Clemson can still get in if they lose this game, but all of a sudden it makes it, you know, college football more exciting with these two teams playing at the night game. So give me FSU 38-31.
All right, while we're giving out scores, let me throw out a few more games and give us your prediction. Tonight's game, Virginia Tech and Pittsburgh.
Give me the Hokies in a close one on the road, 24-20. Should be a very defensive-minded battle type of game.
All right, Washington at Utah.
Yeah, the Pac-12 game of the week. Washington's biggest three games are right now, and then they got Cal and USC coming up. So I think they're going to lose one of those, but not this weekend. I like the Huskies getting a UW 31-24.
All right. Baylor at Texas.
Lots of points. I know the over-under is pretty close to 80. I think you're going to get right around there. So give me the burnt orange in a slight upset. You might be saying slight. How so? Well, Texas is nearly favored at home against a top 10 team in Baylor, which is all you need to know about the rankings and how irrelevant they are until the CFP rankings come out next Tuesday night. And even if some teams are in there, I would just relax, SEC folks, because obviously these games coming down the stretch are a little more important than these. But and usually these teams lose. So give me Texas in a slight upset. I'm going to go 40-38.
All right. Two more. Nebraska at Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin's borderline unbeatable at home, especially at night. They already lost to the Buckeyes in overtime this year. So give me the Huskers in a slight upset. This is a back-and-forth affair, low-scoring. Jordan Westerkamp comes back from Nebraska. He's their star receiver the last 3 years. So give me the Huskers, 24-23. This will be a barn burner. The winner of this game has a great chance of winning the West and ultimately meeting up with the winner of that Ohio State-Michigan game. So
all
give
right.
me Nebraska, 24-23.
Sounds like a good one. Auburn at Ole Miss.
Yeah, give me War Eagle with that momentum right now. I think this one will be closer, but, I mean, who knows? It's hard to judge how good Auburn looks these days. They either look amazing or just flawless. So I'm going to go with amazing this weekend in Oxford. Ole Miss needs to show up in this game. They're pretty much like an Arkansas version, and we know how that played out last weekend. But this game on the road for Auburn. So we're going to see if they come down to earth a little bit, which I think they will, but their defense will win this game in the trenches. Chad Kelly will be suffocated. So give me Auburn. I think they get a late touchdown. They have to give a garbage touchdown to make it a little close. But give me War Eagle, 30-24.
All right, a couple of more questions before I let you go. Dan, the coaching hot seat has seen some big changes since the first of the year. Think about how much difference 1 second can make in a person's life, in a coach's life, because right now Les Miles out of a job, no longer the coach at LSU, and if that 1 second had been left on the clock, they counted the touchdown, possibly it could be Gus Malzahn unemployed right now. What a big difference that makes.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you some coaches and you tell me how hot that seat is. And if it is even hot, some of these you may say, hey, his seat's still cool, nothing to worry about. We just talked about the old Razorbacks, Brett Bielema.
Yep, I'm going to go medium. I think he's got to make a bowl game. As long as they get to 6-7 wins, I think he'll be okay this year. I think next year, though, they're going to have to get back to at least 8-9 wins. Their expectations are to be a legit top 25 team, and the losses are piling up now, so they're not quite there. But he's done pretty okay there for the most part. He started out obviously struggling, but the last couple of years he's still been respectable enough, so I think we'll get another year. I assume they get to at least 6-7 wins this year. So I'm going to go medium.
Okay, and I'm glad you're throwing in what they got to do, because tell us what these coaches must do to cool that seat off. All right, Mark Helfrich, Oregon.
Yes, I'm going to go scorching hot. So whatever the hottest level of hotness is, give me that. So I'm going to go Mark Helfrich scorching, and I think he's going to win out. And even then, I honestly don't know if he can do that. I say win out. There's a good chance they're going to lose out. Maybe they win this week, and they are favored against ASU, but he's going to win out. And that chance is it's pretty slim to none. You got a better chance of maybe Alabama losing a game, which is almost impossible if you ask some folks, obviously. So I think Oregon and Mark Helfrich are going to part ways. I think they've probably already had discussions of how of an embarrassing type of season it has been. So scorching hot, he's going to have to win out, and even then it might not be enough.
All right, let's go over to Mississippi. Dan Mullen, Mississippi State.
Yeah, I'm going to go, you know, kind of medium, so kind of low, medium. I'll go right between that. And I think it's because life after Dak Prescott's going to be a little tougher than they thought it was. I had them going 5-7 this year. Obviously, they would have preferred to make a bowl game, and they might not even get the 5 wins. So, assuming they don't lose out and win at least another game and don't get embarrassed every game and get annihilated every game, I think they'll certainly come back for at least another year. But obviously, the pressure will be heating up next year. If they continue to be bottom of the basin for 2 full seasons, I think I'd put him on the hot seat, but for now, right in between low and medium, because for the most part, he's been great for Mississippi State going into this year. So I think they'll get at least another year, even if they have a little bit of some disaster losses down the stretch.
Okay, here's you one that I think the fire department has been called on. Gus Malzahn, Auburn.
Yeah, now preseason it was medium to scorching hot, and now I go low to medium. I think, assuming they can win at least 7+, which is looking like a mortal lock at this moment in time, I think you're safe with Gus Malzahn going into next season. Worst case, I could see Auburn maybe going 8-5. That's like if a disaster happens somehow. But there's a great chance to win 9 or 10 games this season. And Alabama's the only non-game they won't be favored in. More than likely, they're going to be favored in a big bowl game as well, even if they lose the Iron Bowl. So it's low to medium. All of a sudden, Auburn's got big-time momentum. Springboard it, and they're probably going to be at least a top 15 preseason team, more than likely because they're going to finish in the top 15 this season.
All right, one more, and take into consideration if the events unfold over in Mississippi, as it appears they may, Hugh Freeze, Ole Miss, if the NCAA slams them.
Yeah, I'm in right between medium and hot, so it's getting closer to hot than medium. I think you got to win at least 7+, but depending on what happens with the NCAA, he potentially could get let go. But I think he's more of that medium hot, a little closer to hot. But I think it's not looking like he's going to lose his job barring something breaks here. Remember, they've had their greatest 2 years in a row in Oxford. So obviously, this third year not quite as great as they'd hope. But the last 2 years, they went to New Year's Six bowls. And, you know, beat Oklahoma State in that one last year. Hugh Freeze has done a great job, you know, in terms of bringing the better players in. Now, whether or how he's been doing that process, we'll have to wait and find out. But he's right between medium and hot, getting a little closer to hot because we'll have to see what happens here. But he's been winning ball games. So, barring they having a disaster and lose a bunch of games on the stretch and lose 6 games at least, I see him coming back, barring these news, because he's gotten the job done for the most part.
All right. Last question, Dan. Do you give any credit at all to the rumor that at the end of the season, Charlie Strong will be replaced by Tom Herman and then Charlie Strong to LSU?
No, not much at all. I think it's possible. If Houston would have been, you know, a better team this year, I thought Tom Herman to Texas could have made sense. Certainly, Texas has really never wanted Charlie Strong. From the get-go with McCombs and all the boosters out there, really never gave him much of a chance to even begin with. But potentially, I'm not sure I really could see Charlie Strong going to LSU. So he always listened, but I have to let the process handle. I just don't see it too believable. Herman to Texas is possible, but not very likely. And obviously, no. I don't think Charlie to LSU would happen either. So it's possible, but not very likely. So I think it's like what it is at this moment in time, just rumors.
All right, good deal. Hey, Dan, hope you have a great weekend, man. Kick back, watch some football, and enjoy the weather that you're having, because I would swap with you, and we'll get back with you, next Thursday.
It. Yep.
Hey, thanks a lot, Dan.
I appreciate it. Have a great weekend, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You too. All right, 5:28, that is Dan the Man Vasta. When we come back from the break, we'll be talking to Rex Chamber, our local fishing expert. Stay with us, Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
This is Big D, the new voice of Live 95.5 from the popular Facebook page, What's Happening in Coleman, bringing you the Downtown Grill on 4th Street, where one of our many appetizers is waiting for you today. Like homemade onion rings, fried dill pickles, potato skins, and more, we also have a large selection from our salad menu to Coleman's best hot wings, from traditional to boneless wings. We also have party packs from 50 to 100 pieces. At the Downtown Grill, we will even let you build your own burger, or enjoy one of our classic sandwiches, chicken, shrimp, or crawfish baskets, or our gourmet hot dogs. You can't leave without having a delicious dessert of fried Twinkies, strawberry shortcakes, or fried Oreos. For the best comfort food in Coleman, the Downtown Grill is ready to serve you.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Did you know that you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill? Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Cullman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now, Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer to the service, or bundle with the Cyber Broadband cellular service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you sign up for broadband service to another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo, it's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of silver sneakers and silver fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Wow, back with you, Sports Talk Live. I'm not sure what that was. It sounded like the Roaring Twenties, though, Jay.
I think that might have come out of Beetlejuice.
All right.
Not real sure.
Hey, it's time for Rex Chambers, our local fishing expert. Rex, welcome back to Sports Talk Live on a beautiful Thursday afternoon.
I'm a little slow with that bumper machine. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Hey, had you ever heard that, Rex?
No, hopefully I won't
again. Hey, that makes two of us. That makes two. I guess we're showing our age. Hey, Rex, are you on the water today, or have you been on the water?
No, I was driving west.
There is no water in the lake anymore.
78 at 5:28 in the afternoon. That's not advisable.
You were driving what?
If you're driving west on 278 at 5:30 in the afternoon,
right.
You're talking about cannot see a thing this time of year.
Yeah, it is tough, and my sunglasses are down at my mom's, so I'll have to hide my eyes for a day. So, hey, what do you think about this weather?
Halloween, and still hadn't put on the long pants for the year. I ain't complaining. I just wish we'd get some rain.
Right. Now, we got a sprinkle this morning about 5, and then we got one at the office about lunchtime, but all it did is rain and move on, so.
I was getting in the truck this morning, just a little bit after 5, to head to the lake, and it rained for a total of about 30 seconds.
Yeah, and you enjoyed every second of it.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it. It was a short experience, but it was 30 seconds of rain. So,
Rich, how
I almost forgotten what it was.
I was down at Smith the other day, my nephew building a house there, and I was looking at the water. I have no idea how far it's down, but you can tell us about what is Smith now.
It's 14 feet low.
14 feet. Oh, man, I knew it was on down.
It's still coming down, yeah.
Is there any truth to the rumor going around that they're going to drop it more to pour boat ramp at Smith Lake Park?
I haven't heard if that is going to happen. You know, it's going to happen. Originally, the autism tournament scheduled for November 5th was scheduled to go out of the park. And then, you know, we started that tournament last year, advertising for it, and then they told us that the ramp would probably be closed immediately after the Smith Lake Park tournament Bass Fest. So we changed it to the dam. Well, now, you know, the ramp's not closed, and I heard it got axed as far as fixing the ramp or expanding the ramp. And then around Bass Fest, they said that they were going to expand the ramp. They just didn't know when. So, you know, I've not heard one way or the other for sure.
Okay. All right. We know the weather's nice now, and we'll talk about what the fish are biting or not biting. But at some point, it's going to turn cold, and people are going to get caught, as I say, with their pants down. What steps do people need to take as cold weather moves in to protect that investment they've got in that $50,000, $60,000 bass boat sitting there?
Well, the number one thing is, the majority of people around here fish 12 months out of the year. So
right.
Other places actually winterize their equipment. I don't know of anybody that really has to winterize their boats. But the biggest thing is to get the water out of your lines. The bilge pumps, the aerators, stuff like that, you know, while they're sitting on dry land, you know, make sure there ain't, make sure there's no water in the lines or water in the pumps themselves that'll freeze once it really does get cold. And other than that, there's not a whole lot to do around here. We just don't have enough long time cold weather to hurt very much on a boat.
Right. You know, a lot of people, and we have it with our equipment at work, a lot of people think, well, it's going down to 30 tonight or 29 tonight, going to damage some stuff. But as you said, It takes that temperature at 30, 29 degrees. It takes it staying that cold for a while to really do damage.
If we get like a storm that comes through, we're going to have a little snow and ice where it does stay cold for 4, 5, 6 days straight. The other thing that does get damaged on boats is lower units. And a good lower unit will not have any water in it, so it won't matter. But some lower units that's got a small leak or it's got a bad gasket and they have a little water in their lower unit oil, now they will freeze and expand and bust their lower unit, which is a hassle and a very expensive problem to have. But you don't hear it a whole lot around here, but it does happen.
Okay, one more question in this area. Let's say Rich is going out fishing today. The temperature's 35, 36 degrees. It's going to drop down to about 18 tonight. When you get back from fishing today, what steps do you need to take for your boat overnight? Let's say you're going back out tomorrow afternoon.
Well, the biggest thing is to make sure your boat's on the inside, because you're going to have some things that are wet, such as your locker lids and stuff like that, that will freeze up, and you won't get them loose until about lunchtime, because I have been there and done that. Another thing is, in very cold weather, if you fish on Friday and it is extremely cold at night, I'm talking freezing temperatures, there are times where your boat will be frozen to your boat trailer if it stays outside all night.
Oh, wow, I've never thought about that, but yeah.
Been there, done that. Took me about 45 minutes of tournament time to unfreeze boat from a trailer at Gunnersville one time. So, but like I said, the majority of the folks got a really nice boat. Majority of the folks have a garage to keep it in. If not, just put a cover on it,
put the lids up so they don't freeze together, and don't worry about it.
All right, I got to ask you, when your boat was froze to the trailer, what did you do? Just leave it in the water till it thawed out?
We sat there. Actually, what happened? We backed in. We backed it down the ramp, and the boat will float in your trailer. So if you got any kind of breeze or wave, the trailer and everything's going to start turning and jackknifing while it's in the water.
Oh, me.
And so you pull up a little bit. I mean, actually, it's happened to me twice, once on Smith and once on Gunnersville. And all you can do is dump it in the water, pull it up, and get two or three people to just start rocking it real hard, try to get it broke loose. And if that don't work, you just back it down. Because usually the water's in the 50s or high 40s or low 50s. And you back it down in the water and just sit there. It'll eventually come loose.
Hey, you know what Jason's answer to that is, Rex? When it gets that cold, just stay at home. I'm a wimp when it comes to that cold weather fishing.
Sleep in.
Yeah.
You know, I hate cold weather. You know, as a fat man, I like it when it's 100 degrees in the shade, which is odd. But I can't stand cold weather unless I'm on the water. I absolutely love being in it when I'm fishing.
Oh, no.
The more ice in the guides of the rod, the better the fishing is to me. And I mean, it's sometimes just, the fish don't care. They like the cold weather. And I have some of my best catches of the year in middle of December, middle of January.
Oh, man, I won't ever know because I probably won't ever be out there when it's that cold.
Well, the thing about it is always make sure you got plenty of good quality warm clothes and another set in the boat ready to go for that inopportune time you get wet.
Yeah, and I have got wet one time, but luckily it was when we were taking the boat out over at Ingram Lake. Hey, you know how you have to get out there on the trailer and pull your boat up on the
trailer? Oh, yeah. Been there many a time.
Got it up, started to step off, and I did step off right into the lake, and luckily we were going home. So, all right, Rex, what are the fish biting or not biting? What are they doing now?
It's still the same old. I mean, you can get a few bites early, first thing in the morning, pulling a few topwaters on Smith. And you can get a few bites on up in the morning, throwing something a little deeper, a crankbait, or get around some boat docks with a shaggy head worm or small jig. Now, Gunnersville turned around the last few days. They've really started biting a little bit better. I've got to get over there. Well, I haven't been this week. But lots of my buddies have been catching some frog fish this week, so the bite's really gotten a lot better with this cooler water. The water temp's 68 to 70 first thing in the morning, so that's a good thing anyway.
All right. What, as far as tournaments, what's coming up? What have you got? What have you got on your plate? I know you may be fishing. Lord, there's no.
No, there's nothing major for me this weekend. I think I'll be going down to the Smith Lake Dam and fishing their weekly Saturday tournament. And there's also a tournament, Saturday tournament, which is a three fish limit out of the park from daylight to 1 o'clock. And then on the 5th, which is Saturday week, will be the Angling for Autism tournament out of Smith Lake Dam. That is going to be a big deal. I believe there's going to be several vendors there as far as doing food and games. I think they're going to have some little bouncy houses for the kids. It's going to be new car dealerships there set up with their vehicles to show people. It's going to be an all-day event at Smith Lake Dam on November the 5th. And, you know, if you're not fishing the tournament, show up, bring your kids, and there'll be something for you to do.
Right, going for a great cause. And, Rex, if somebody hasn't signed up, is it too late to sign up, or is it still open?
You can sign up now, find an entry fee. I don't think we actually have an entry fee online, but you can sign up the morning of the tournament. Majority of the people will be signing up Saturday morning. I think registration will start about 4:30, 5 o'clock that morning, and actually probably start, because we'll have a time change before then, so it'll probably start earlier than that, probably about 4. And you can see everybody will sign up that morning, and it will blast off at Safe Flight with the first flight due in at 3. And as we're looking right now, we're going to have at least 100, if not 125, 130 boats.
Wow, will that be the biggest tournament on Smith now?
Be the second biggest.
Second biggest. Okay, what's
the
biggest?
Second biggest open tournament that we have now.
All right, what is the first biggest then?
the Bass Fest.
Okay.
Bass Fest is the first weekend in October, and it's right now that's the biggest one.
All right. I remember back when the Anderson tournament was going full strength. Man, I fished that thing, or actually donated my money two or three times in that.
That was one of my very first big tournaments to fish. I was part of it when we set the world record of, I think, 742 boats.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, when I was fishing it, I think it were between 250 and 300, so I waited a while.
Yeah, it was a huge deal for a long time. I miss that tournament.
Yeah, yeah, it was good for the fishermen, good for Coleman County. So.
Oh yeah, we have people come from all across the country to fish that.
Hey, one more question just popped in my head. You mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but and now the name of the lake has left me. The new water supply.
We refer to that as Duck Creek.
I don't think they've even officially named it yet, but it's Duck Creek.
Yeah. Okay, Duck Creek. Is that going to be open any time in the near future for fishing?
I still have not got official word. I know that the boat ramp is still not open yet. Number one, there's no parking yet. But it was supposed to have been open by now. I don't know what they're... delay is. I think there's a few minor problems going on with the dam that they're probably going to have to get fixed before that happens. But it should be, at the latest, should be springtime, surely.
Okay, so I guess that tells us, too, that there's still no decision on the motor size.
Not that I've been told. I've inquired, and I'm going to assume it's going to stay just like Katoma.
Right.
But I know there's some people pushing for a 20 horsepower limit or a 25 horsepower limit. But, my suggestion on that is leave it alone. Let it stay at the 10 horsepower limit because it's not a big lake. It does not take a long time to get
one. Now, that was going to be my next question. How does that compare when compared to Katoma?
It is a little bigger than Katoma, but not much. It's not double the size or nothing,
okay.
But it is a little larger.
All right. Yeah, a 10 horsepower motor is, in my opinion, plenty on Katoma. I mean, if you're in that big a hurry, you don't need to be out there fishing anyways.
You can run from even in a super slow boat, you can go from one end to the other in, 20 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
At 25 if you're really slow. That's like putting it at Smith Lake Park running a dam. It's a 15-minute drive, so, big deal.
Now, this is one question has turned into four or five here, but one more, and this is for my personal use. Where I'm looking for a flat bottom, 10 horsepower, something to fish Katoma, and George, and Duck Creek, where would be a good place to start?
Call me. I got you covered.
I will give you a call then. That was easy fix.
I've got one that I'm redoing right now, and when I get done with it, it's for sale, and it will be a nice one.
Okay, good deal. That sounds like what I'm looking for.
I can handle you on that one.
Good deal. If somebody wants to get in touch with you to go fishing, you got any open spots, and how do they get a hold of you?
I got a few days open in November. Find me on Facebook at Rex Chambers Fishing or pull it up on the web at smithlakebass.com.
All right. Mighty fine. Hey, Rex, until next week, a big war eagle to you, and thanks for joining us.
War eagle. Y'all have a good week.
All right, you too, Rex. Rex Chambers, the local fishing expert, professional, call him whatever you want, but he knows how to catch the fish. Sports Talk Live 95.5. We'll be right back to close it out for the week, give a few picks, and go home for the day.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network. ARN News is provided as a service of Coleman Regional Medical Center.
Choose the apple over the cookie. Take the stairs instead of the elevator. Staying healthy isn't one choice. It's a lot of little ones. That's why at Coleman Regional we offer so many. Water aerobics classes, blood drives, CPR certification, tobacco treatment programs, over 1,000 screenings. Most are all totally free. Our full list of programs and doctors is available online today at ColemanRegional.com/healthy. Coleman Regional, live exceptional.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. A woman arrested earlier this year after her baby tested positive for drugs and trouble with the law again. Raven West delivering a second baby stillborn one day after snorting heroin. District Attorney Bill Veach calling for the woman's bond to be revoked. Pleasant Grove Police Lieutenant Danny Reed says West told investigators she felt the baby kicking before using heroin.
This is frustrating. And I'm sickened. I'm heartbroken. I mean, what do you do in a case like this?
The charges will be filed pending the outcome of the coroner's report. Utah City Council takes no action on the status of three police officers placed on administrative leave by the city's outgoing mayor. The cops say it was retaliatory action because they supported another candidate. Only one city councilor showed up for a meeting. Without a quorum, nothing could be done. Jefferson County's Board of Registrar's office swamped with voter registration. Chairman Barry Stevenson says the board is working 14 hours a day to process all the applications. He adds they're expecting a record turnout November 8th. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Suspended Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore blasting the process being used to hear his appeal. Seven retired judges are being picked at random at the state judicial building, and they'll sit as a special Supreme Court because sitting justices recuse themselves. Moore says it's a problem because retired judges are not accountable to the public.
If somebody's going to replace the Supreme Court if they recuse, then it should be people elected like active judges. And so I object to the procedure that's going on.
Moore was suspended by the Court of Judiciary, which claimed he urged defiance of federal court orders on gay marriage. Moore denies it. Drought conditions predictably worse in Alabama after only nominal rain fell across the state. U.S. Drought Monitor's weekly update shows the highest level of exceptional drought now sweeping into the state's largest metro area of Jefferson and Shelby counties, hardest hit counties in the north part of the state. A new metro area crime center now open in Jefferson County at the sheriff's office. 13 agencies now working to track and map crimes. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN.
Hey there, it's me, John. I'm just a regular dad, but I'm a big deal at my house, mostly because I'm there. That's half of being a great dad, showing up. The other part is tricky. Let's use a simple test to see if you can figure out that other part, shall we? What does this sound?
Thanks, Dad.
I know it's only two words. Could be the sound of gratitude. That's the obvious guess, but listen carefully.
Thanks, Dad.
There's a lot of history in those two words. A lot of time spent understanding each other, admitting mistakes, making changes, expressing feelings. Those two words are really saying respect. Now that's a hard thing to teach. Respect yourself, your parents, your teachers, your fellow human beings. Wow! Can a kid learn all that just by spending more time with his father? Well, it's a start.
This message brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
News, money woes for Cortland. No police in the North Alabama town. The mayor had to shut down the department because they can't afford their pay or insurance. The newly elected mayor says he'll revive the department when he takes office in November. Lawrence County Sheriff's Department serving as law enforcement for the city right now. Alabama National Fair opens tomorrow, runs through Sunday, November 6th. It'll be held at the fairgrounds in Montgomery, and organizers expect this year's attendance to be around 200,000. Entertainment lineup includes Lee Greenwood, Kansas, and Chris Young. Jefferson County Commissioners plan to open a satellite office in Gardendale by the end of the year after they approve the hiring of 15 new employees to staff it. Big benefit for residents, another place to renew car tags, especially with future plans to shut down the I-2059 bridges in about 1 year. And Birmingham's Design Review Committee approves plans to expand the Ronald McDonald House in the city. It'll add a new wing to the building that will nearly double occupancy at the facility on 4th Avenue South near UAB Hospital. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
.553, wrapping it up for a Thursday, a last caller for today. Welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Hi, I just
Say, good show.
Hey, Sheila, I'm glad it was you. I started to say Sheila because Jay said he thought it was you, but he was unsure, so I was afraid I was going to call somebody the wrong name.
I'm being a little lazy today and not asking all the right questions.
I thought I told him, but our connection wasn't too good, so... Anyway, War Eagle, too, War Eagle.
Whoa, Sheila, what about the Auburn Tigers last weekend?
I'm telling you. You know what? I think they got a chance now, even for that last game, Jason.
Oh, I do, too. I do, too. I wouldn't say it was a big chance, but it
well,
is.
Well, me either.
It's better than what we thought, anyway.
Hey, they just look great.
Oh, yeah.
They looked great. They look great.
And the good news for Auburn, Ole Miss, the worst rushing defense in the SEC.
And that's good. I'm telling you, Auburn's defense has just been unreal to me, just unreal.
Right. It's a change over what we've been seeing the past few years.
It is.
Sheila, tell me right quick, Cold Springs football, I know they play tomorrow night, is that right?
Winston County,
sure? Let's see, I've got it written down. Cold Springs plays Danville.
It was supposed to have been tonight, but something happened. They had another game. Maybe that's thought they might make playoffs. I don't know what it was.
They should beat Danville from the way the record looks, and then on to the playoffs. So, and not going to be an easy task in the playoffs.
No, but maybe they can do it.
Maybe
hope they can.
Yeah.
I got to put a plug in before you go.
Okay.
Come to West Point tomorrow. Watch some great little football. It's the finals of all the little county football tomorrow.
Oh, okay. The county tournament championship.
Good for them at 10:30, and I think Ace and them is right after that, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I knew he played, but I didn't know what time. Well, I think they played Viamont in the championship. So.
Yeah, and we played Coleman. We beat one Coleman team the last week, and we play another Coleman team this week. So.
Hey, maybe anyway. You'll get them and be the champs.
Maybe so. Hey, I hope Ronnie feels better, too, if he's listening.
Yeah, that's the way Alabama fans are. Auburn has a good game, and it makes them sick at their stomach. So.
Hey, that virus is bad. I had it. It's bad.
Oh, yeah, I had it, too. I was at the beach when I had it. So.
Well, maybe he'll get well soon. It was a great show.
All right, thanks, Sheila.
All right, Jason. Bye.
Bye. All right, 5:56. Let's go through the high school games quickly as we wrap it up. I could pick for Ronnie and make him miss most of these, but knowing my luck, he would hit every one of them. All right, Cold Springs at Danville. I'm going to go with Cold Springs in this one. Cold Springs wins it 36-13. Fairview at Holly Pond. This will be a tough game. It's going to be an interesting game to watch if you don't have anything else to do. Go out and catch this one. I'm going to say Holly Pond on a hot streak, going to win this one in a close one, 23-20. Hansville at Good Hope. Good Hope 0-9 on the year. Hansville 2-7. I've got to give it to Hansville for the two wins. Hansville wins this one 30-20. Chelsea at Coleman. Chelsea 7-2. Coleman 6-3. I think Coleman continues their winning ways and wins this one 27-23. That 23, I like that. I've had it in every game. West Point at Lawrence County. I'm going Lawrence County in this one 32-16. Thoughtful at Viamont. I know nothing about Thoughtful, so I'm going with Viamont in this one 27-12.
I'm thinking Falkville has a team? What?
Yeah. Addison at Winston County. Addison 9-0. I don't know. I'm not sure. Winston County has a losing record, but not sure what it is. So Addison wins this one going away 37-6. College games, only two games I'm going to pick since we're short on time and Ronnie not here. I'm going with Auburn over Ole Miss 31. 21. And
I think you're a little low on that. I think we need to go a little higher.
You think so?
I was shocked when I heard that the Auburn score last weekend, they were only favored by like 7 or 6 or something.
Oh, I thought the points. I thought Arkansas might even get them. Florida State Clemson. I'm going to go with the upset here. Florida State wins this one 38-35. All right.
We'll see how you did next week.
Ronnie, if you happen to be listening, hope you're feeling better. And thanks, everyone, for joining us. Thanks to Chris Andrews, Dan Vosta, and Rex Chambers for being our guest each Thursday. Thanks to Jay for manning the show today. We'll be back Tuesday to talk about what happened this weekend. Until then.
Hey, and thanks to People's Bank for making
right,
this show possible.
Right,
too.
Without People's, yeah, we wouldn't be here. Until Tuesday, a big war eagle, and we don't have to listen to the other part of that today. Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Coleman.